First Nations people in Turtle Island here, and we're asking people throughout the world to pray for world peace and global healing.
Now, you're here with Cheryl Miller. Cheryl, how did you and the chief ever meet?
Well, back in the last Gulf War, we were both speakers at a big event like this. I'd been with the last peace delegation in Baghdad. I'd just returned in Orville and come back 2 weeks before I had. And we were both speakers, and we were both met working together.
You've seen a lot of history in the time that you've been working together. Most recently, Cheryl, I know that you saw history right here on 9/11 in New York City. Tell us what you were involved in then.
Well, I was one of the rescue workers downtown, and I had been very involved with the fire department, helping the fire department heal and doing a lot of stuff with the fire department. And I worked downtown at Ground Zero since the very beginning and saw the devastation, and I don't want to see that devastation anywhere else.
Didn't you become New Yorker of the Year?
I was one of the New Yorkers of the Week, which became one of the New Yorkers of the Year, and for some work I'd done for the fire department, and it's quite an experience. And I just, you know, the pain and suffering that I saw there, I don't want to see anywhere else, and I don't think, I think there are other ways, there are diplomatic solutions.
What are some of those other ways, Chief? What do you practice in your tradition when it comes to resolving conflict?
We as spiritual leaders are, I'm a keeper of a sacred bundle back home, and like the Black Hills is a heart of everything that is, from the sky it shapes like a heart, and the Four Seasons is a heart pumping. So we take care of this Turtle Island, and today our ways are, you know, we're asking people that, you know, Mother Earth, she cannot sustain no more wars, that, you know, we need to take a stand, because if we don't do this, then our children would not have a future.
I want to thank you very much, both of you. Before you go, Cheryl, the firefighters, the first responders, the Red Cross people whom you know, you get any sense of what they make of this demonstration today and what they're feeling about the possibility of the U.S. being involved in another war?
I think there's a lot of mixed feeling. There's still a lot of hurt and anger about what happened in 9/11, and I think that our government is playing on the hurt, anger, and the fear. But I've really been talking to some people that are coming around, and that they don't support the president anymore, and that I think that's very important, particularly amongst this group, you know, who've been amongst the most wounded from 9/11. And that's very hopeful. If we can see people that have really experienced firsthand devastation and loss not supporting this war, I think that means a lot.
And the people of the Lakota Sioux Nations, particularly in South Dakota, economic conditions are very dire. When you talk about wounded people, what is the message that your colleagues back home are bringing today?
Yeah, wounded it is, because I think what's happening today, our first people, my relatives, my ancestors are the first to be faced with this, what's happening today. And I think there's so much lack of jobs, and healthcare is very, very poor. It's almost like a third world. But we need to think about what we are holding for the future of our children. And my website is worldpeaceday.com.
Worldpeaceday.com. Chief Orville Looking Horse, Cheryl Miller, I want to thank you both. Back to Amy Goodman from behind the stage here in New York.
And we're here with Congressmember Dennis Kucinich. Again, what we are hearing is that on 2nd Avenue and 3rd Avenue, that the thousands of people who are feeding in marches are not able to get here. They've been met by mounted police. The police have lost control of those streets. So the protest march, they didn't want to happen, seems sure as heck to be happening. But here before is just a sea of people from 50th Street, way beyond 70th Street on 1st Avenue above the United Nations. Congressmember Kucinich, what kind of message do you think will actually prevent Bush from invading Iraq?
I would think the administration is going to have to take heed when they see millions of people around this country and tens of millions around the world stating that this war is not acceptable, there is no case for this war. People are not fooled by the administration's drive towards empire. They're not buying it. They don't want to send their sons and daughters and put them at risk, and they don't want innocent people to die.
Are you running for president?
I'm on my way to Iowa right now because there's very few places in the winter that are as nice as Cleveland, Ohio.
Congressman Kucinich, are there any legal or congressional strategies left at this point that might be pursued to prevent this war?
Well, Congressman Conyers and I and other members of Congress have filed a lawsuit in Baltimore federal court stating that the resolution which passed in October did not authorize the president to wage war, that Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution makes it abundantly clear that only Congress has the ability to move this country from a condition of peace to war, that only Congress has the power to declare war.
Ohio Congressmember Dennis Kucinich, as we turn now to the voices of Iraq.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm Om Haider, from an Iraqi woman from Basra. In 1999, the 25th of January, an American missile fell down in our area, and my two children were in the street. When I looking for them, I cried, Mustafa, Haider, Mustafa. I didn't find them. After minutes, I saw Mustafa wake up, and his face is full of blood. His eyes, and I found Haider lying on the street, and the pieces of wool and wood and iron and wood cover all his body, and the circle of blood is under his head, and he didn't answer me, and he didn't talk to me. Because he was dead. Because of these things, we hate the war and we hate bombing. Because it's destroy, it's kill everything, life in everything nice in the life.
Voices of Iraq, as we now go to reports from London, Rome, Madrid, Melbourne, and India.
Are you rolling?
Rolling.
All right. I'm Emily Otts, reporting for Free Speech TV, and I'm here with Rosario. Rosario, would you like to tell us a little bit why you're here today?
Okay, well, actually, my name is Rocio. It's okay. And I'm here because I oppose the war. I don't believe that the U.S. has good intentions for going to Iraq. I believe that a lot of communities of color are suffering because of this war, in the sense that it's our people that are going off. Due to the fact that we come from low-income communities, we look at the army as a way out, and I feel that it's unnecessary for my cousins, my brother, to be out fighting for a country that really doesn't care about minorities, women, homosexuals, what have you, and even poor white people, you know? So it's I'm fighting for a war, or my tax dollars are paying for a war that are benefiting a group of people, a small group of people that don't give a damn about me, that don't give a damn about much about anyone except themselves. Therefore, and also the fact that, yes, my troops, my community is going out to fight this war to kill other people of color. Not the case with me. I'm definitely not going to stand for that. So this is why I'm here.
And we're going to go now back to the stage of the mass anti-war protest in New York. The world says no to war.
Honoring Sacred Sites Day, we're asking the people to pray with us. But today I know that we've got to come and pray, represent each other, and may you listen to your heart. May the Creator bless each and every one of you. Home and talk, Oscar.
If you can look around to your right and to your left, and if you can even look behind you and see all of the people that are stretching back, I understand that the crowd looks exactly like this on 2nd and 3rd Avenue, which means that we have closed down the east side. So we really should feel very strong and wonderful about today. I want to take this time now to bring up to you an actor, a voice of conscience, one who continues to lift up the high ground for us. Ozzy!
No. Sorry.
We're sorry about that. We just needed a little more time for our surprise speaker that the Reverend was announcing. Up next, we have Richie Perez, the leader of the National Congress for Puerto Rican Rights. Richie Perez is a longtime community activist in the areas of police brutality and criminal justice. Let him know you want justice here and across the world. Give it up for Richie Perez.
This is KPFA or KPFB, Berkeley or KFCF Fresno. Again, you're listening to Pacifica's coverage of the New York anti-war rally.
They said they had to destroy the village to save it. In our communities, they said, we have to suspend the Constitution and take away your freedoms to make you safe. And they started stop and frisks of our young people. Hundreds of thousands of them. When Giuliani first took office, the juvenile arrest rate went up 100,000 a year. Every day there are 18,000 young men and women incarcerated at Rikers Island. Three quarters for nonviolent crimes, and most of them are there because they can't make bail. They're in prison still because they're poor. After the Vietnam War, America's rulers said that there was a crisis of democracy in this country. They said there was too much democracy, and this is what they meant. People that had been powerless before were taking power, were making demands on the system. People of color, women, gays and lesbians, young people and workers. And it was among these groups then, and it's among these groups now, that sentiment against the war is the strongest, especially among blacks and Latinos, young people, and the lowest paid workers. This is true today. Here's one of the other problems this government faces, that faced then and it faces today. More and more of us are recognizing that we live in the world's house. We don't just live in America. We live in the world house. That's what Martin Luther King said. We live in the world house. That means that we have brothers and sisters in the world house all over the world. It means we have to have an internationalist consciousness, not just a New York City or United States consciousness. And Malcolm X took it even further. He said, domestic racism and imperialist aggression are issues for the United Nations. The United Nations is part of the World House. I'm running out of time, so I just want to say big shout out to Racial Justice 9/11. I don't know how far back there you are. And I want to introduce two of the families that are up here, part of the control of the young people in our communities, young people who would be young workers if there were jobs for them. But instead of being channeled into the criminal justice system, part of the control mechanism is prison, and part of it is police intimidation on the streets. Maliki Raymond, whose mother is on my right side, was killed in New York, New York's 30th precinct 2 years ago. 3 years ago, 2000. Malcolm Ferguson's mother, Juanita, was killed in the South Bronx, a few blocks from where Amadou Diallo was killed. Police brutality is one of the extreme forms of containment that is put on people of color in this country. When they said we've got to bomb Vietnam to save it, they're telling us today we've got to take your rights from you in order to make you safe. And they're telling the world that they're going to bomb Iraq to bring it democracy. We say no, and in the names of all of the mothers and fathers who have lost loved ones, and the list is too long for me to read.
We are trying to reestablish contact in New York, and as soon as we do so, we will return to the New York City rally. Please be patient, and we'll try to get this back on the air for you. And we'd also like to tell you that if you want to call and support broadcasts like this and support the finances that it takes to pay for these special broadcasts on Pacifica, please give us a call at 1-800-439-5732. 848-5732 in the 510 area code. Let me go now to work to getting the broadcast back, but please keep calling and supporting KPFA. Thank you.
possible peaceful means is immoral. And those who want to wage war against Iraq must know it would be an immoral war. You know, those who are going to be killed in Iraq are not collateral damage. They are human beings of flesh and blood. They are children. They are mothers. They are brothers. They are grandfathers. You know what? They are our sisters and brothers, for we belong in one family. We are members of one family, God's family, the human family. And how can we say we want to drop bombs on our sisters and brothers, on our children? We said no to communism. We said no to apartheid. We said no to injustice. We said no to oppression. And we said yes to freedom. Yes to democracy. Now, I ask you, what do we say to war?
No.
I can't hear you. What do you say to war?
No.
What do you say to death and destruction?
No.
What do you say to peace?
No. I can't hear you.
What do you say to peace? What do you say to life? What do you say to freedom? What do you say to compassion? Well, we want to say, President Bush, listen to the voice of the people. For many times, the voice of the people is the voice of God. Vox populi, vox Dei. Listen to the voice of the people saying, give peace a chance. Give peace a chance. And let's say once more so that they can hear in the Pentagon, they can hear in the White House, what do we say to war?
No.
What do we say to peace?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess we know where we are. I guess we know who's with us. They say we don't have leaders, but clearly we have leaders today. We have many leaders. And one of our leaders got out of bed sick with a fever. She helped bring 1 million people to the streets of New York in 1982. She is the coordinator of a co-chair of United for Peace and Justice, Leslie Kagan.
It's wonderful to be here. I don't have much of a voice, but I don't need my own voice because I stand with hundreds of thousands of people in this country and millions of people who are marching and rallying and making their voices heard. There will not be a war against Iraq. We will not let that happen. And it doesn't matter a whole lot that the police put up barricades. And it doesn't matter a whole lot that Mayor Bloomberg decided we can't march, or that Judge Barbara Jones decided that we can't march, because we will not be silenced. Shame on the city of New York. Shame on the police department. Shame on the federal courts. The people will be heard. There will not be a war against Iraq. Thank you.
You guys got to keep strong.
Leslie Kagan, also the chair of the Interim Pacifica National Board.
Think about what the people of Iraq are going through. Up next, we've got a woman who's been on the scene for 30 years, a leader of social change. We have a woman who will sing for us, a woman who created the term cultural worker. Give it up for Holly Near.
I ain't afraid of your Yahweh. I ain't afraid of your Allah. I ain't afraid of your Jesus. I'm afraid of what you do in the name of your God. I ain't afraid of your churches. I ain't afraid of your temples. I ain't afraid of your praying. I'm afraid of what you do in the name of your God. Can we rise up, find the higher power, free up from fear? It will devour you. Watch out for the ego of the hour, the ones who say they know it, are the ones who will impose it on you. I ain't afraid of your Yahweh. I ain't afraid of your Allah. I ain't afraid of your Jesus. I'm afraid of what you do in the name of your God. Rise up, find the higher story, free up from the gods of war and glory. Watch out for the threats of purgatory. The spirit of the wind will make a killing off a sin or Satan. I ain't afraid of your Yahweh. I ain't afraid of your Allah.
Holly Near singing I Ain't Afraid, and I think that's what people are saying on 2nd Avenue who are met by mounted police. There are hundreds of thousands of people. They're not amassed in one place. The police have penned them in, but they are marching despite the ban on marches. There is a peace rally. I'm Amy Goodman here with Verna Avery Brown. Robert Knight is in the crowd, and Ozzie Davis, actor and activist, is with us right now. You introduced Bishop Desmond Tutu. You're here at the peace protest.
Oh, yeah. And glad to be. This is the place to be because this is where the people are. My assumption is that this is a democracy and that the government does not belong to the president or to the Congress or to the Supreme Court. Ultimately, the buck stops with we the people. And when I look out and I see all of these people in their thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands, I'm reassured. I know that democracy is alive and well in this country. And that's the hope, not only of this country, but for peace in the world. We in America stand for many things, and we can be proud of our technological might.